So good afternoon, Professor Boyo.
Good afternoon.
And when there were these supposed hieroglyphics, how were they discovered?
Well, I think they were just found by people who went bushwalking. I mean, obviously, they were the person who put them there knew where they were as well. So, in that sense, they'd never been lost. But I imagine people who weren't involved with their production stumbled upon them at some stage, when they were bushwalking up there in the national park.
And can we be certain they're not actually authentic Egyptian hieroglyphs?
Yes, definitely. No question at all about that. They're definitely not Egyptian hieroglyphs. And there are lots of reasons why that's the case. Do you want me to go and enumerate the reasons why?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at them, you'll see that they're the form of the individual hieroglyphs, the forms of the hieroglyphs, are not really Egyptian ones. You know, you can tell straight away that they weren't produced by an Egyptian. You know, when Egyptians carved hieroglyphs into the rock, the forms have particular proportions and shapes and so forth. And these ones are nothing like anything that you would find in ancient Egypt. And then the other thing is that these inscriptions are supposed to be sort of inscriptions left by some Egyptian expedition that ended up on the east coast of Australia. Well, you know, the sorts of inscriptions that they left, once again, are very different from the sort of hieroglyphs that we have here on these rocks up there near Gosford. They're far more cursive in character, sort of shorthand, whereas these hieroglyphs are sort of written out in full. So just, the character of the hieroglyphs doesn't fit the sorts of writing that was used for expedition descriptions.
And why do you think many people still believe that they are hieroglyphs and they are genuine, despite that there is a lot of evidence that they aren't?
Well, you'd have to ask the people, that. I suppose it would be a fascinating thing if the ancient Egyptians actually had reached the east coast of Australia and it'd be particularly for Egyptologists, of course, it'd be an amazing thing. So, there are people who just want to believe it, and their wishes that it's true are greater than their acceptance of the cold hard facts of the case. So, people believe in all sorts of things that aren't based on truth and reality. I suppose this belongs into that category as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure there are a lot of people that would like to believe that they are true. And what would it mean for not only Australia, but world history, if they were found to be genuine?
Well, I mean, it would be absolutely amazing to think that the ancient Egyptians were able to sail as far from Egypt as Australia. I mean, the thing you've got to ask yourself, first of all, of course, is if the Egyptians, by some miracle, had managed to sail across the Indian Ocean and land in Australia, where would they have landed? They'd have landed on the west coast of Australia, surely. To circumnavigate the continent and end up on the east coast would have extended their trip by, a third or something like that, and the chances of that they would have continued sailing around the continent after landing on the west coast are pretty remote, and there's no indication on the west coast, as far as I'm aware, of anything Egyptian.
Yeah, it definitely would make more sense for them to be on the west coast.
That's right.
And what is your take on the belief that it could be aliens? Is that more of a feasible idea than ancient Egyptians?
Well, that's even less feasible. I mean, what would aliens be writing Egyptian hieroglyphs for? I can't see any point in them doing that. That's an idea that I would never have come up with, to be perfectly honest, and I don't think I've ever come across it yet either. Have you encountered that belief?
No, I just know that there are quite a few skeptics that will even say it could possibly be something related to Aboriginals.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as we know, the Aboriginals didn't have a script, and they certainly didn't write Egyptian hieroglyphs. So, I mean, there's a perfectly plausible explanation for it, and that is that it was put there in modern times. And we know that in the First World War, a lot of its Australian troops went to Egypt and were stationed there for, you know, some time and were trained there before they went off to Europe or to Palestine and so forth. So there were thousands of Australians who'd encountered Egyptian culture and so forth, and when they came back, some of them simply, you know, dabbled in this sort of thing and produced inscriptions like this. I mean, there's another instance of not inscriptions as such, but also in the Ku-ring-gai National Park, on the edge of the park, just opposite a rehabilitation hospital, where quite a number of Australian troops went to recover from gas poisoning and so forth. Somebody has carved a sphinx and a pyramid out of the sandstone. So you can see, you know, this fascination with Egypt was there amongst some of the troops who came back again. And one thing that I've heard is that there were, during the Depression, there were people actually living in the national park, you know, unemployed people who didn't have a home instead of camping out in Martin Place, as some of the homeless people are doing at the moment. They lived in the bush, and some of them lived up there. And you know, it's probably people like that who are more likely to be the authors of these inscriptions than anybody else.
Yeah, that definitely does sound like the more likely cause of how they have ended up there.
Mm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. No problem.